Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. It's October the 22nd. Hope it's October the 22nd where you are as well. Unless you live across the international timeline.
To which we say, welcome to...
Welcome to your October,
welcome to 20th, October 22nd.
I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman, how you doing, Walker?
Good morning.
How's it feel to be 26?
One year older.
Deeper in debt.
What's that song? That song?
Isn't it Tennessee Ernie Ford?
Yeah, yes. 16 pounds. What is that? That's
Fred Jackson, though. He spun that record back in the day.
Yeah, that's right. Huh? I like Tennessee Ernie Ford.
16 tons. What do you get? Another day older.
Brent is looking for it.
Deeper in debt. Fred here was a disc jockey back in the day in
Canada.
Were
you really?
That's right. That's how I got into this business.
So the music they played up there, was it in Canadian? Was the the language in Canadian?
Yes.
That was a gratuitous insult. That didn't need to be hurled.
Was.
Huh? Yeah, no, sure you played top 40, right?
It was top 40.
Back
station.
In what was your era?
Oh, it was the Doobie Brothers.
No, I'm talking about 60s, 70s.
60s, late 60s, late early 60s. 70s. Yeah.
That in was there. Some good time for music.
It was.
Psychedelic drugs.
Listen to the music.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Wasn't that the psychedelic period?
It was everything.
Yes, it was.
Anything goes.
Everything.
I had 6-hour live shifts on the air.
Wow, 6 hours.
Six-hour shifts.
All right, now, the obvious question is if you're on the air for 6 hours.
Yes.
When nature calls. Yes. What did you do?
You play Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Right.
Seven
or the
minutes.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, one or the other.
Put it on repeat.
If you want to go outside.
Oh, that's good right
you
there.
You want to go outside and get a breath of fresh air, you put on Stairway to Heaven.
No. Huh? The other one was Hey Jude.
That's a long song?
Yeah, Beatles. Hey
yeah.
Jude.
Oh, yeah.
It went about 7 minutes. So you had those in the drawer, ready to go.
All right. What radio stations were
this
you
was,
at?
This was in Cape Breton when I was in high school, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
Gotcha.
And I worked 3 shifts on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. 3 6-hour shifts?
Midnight to 6, Friday midnight, Saturday midnight, and then I come back and did a news shift on Sunday afternoon.
Wow. So you are a real radio person.
Hey. Yeah, that's how I put myself.
Did they ever pay you overtime?
No.
That's what they
No.
Businesses oftentimes.
All that changed later when Canada went socialist.
When I went to work for the government broadcaster, I finally got overtime.
All right. All right, I'd like to talk about today on the program. We thank you for listening. By the way, wanted to mention before we jumped in here to the topics that we're going to cover today, we have, I think, 7 seats left, maybe 9, on our 2020 Israel tour. So we're going to the Holy Land in March. By we, I mean my wife and I. Walker's going. Mm-hmm. Wesley's going, so the Wildmans will take care of you.
It will be my 6th time to the Holy Land.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize we had.
Yeah, I went 4 times before I graduated high school. Then I went my first year of marriage about 3 or 4 years ago with you. And then this will be my 6th time.
Well, you're not going to sit there on the tour bus now,
nope.
My friend.
You're going to work.
You're going to work. I'm going to put you to work because your old man's getting too old to start.
Time for you to sit on the
bus.
It's
time for me to watch.
It's going to make him walk up Masada.
Yeah. That's right. Walk up.
I did last time.
Yeah, he did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He did.
You are older now. The way this works is my dad taught me how to lead these tours. Mm-hmm. So I followed him for many, many years, and now he's retired, obviously, at 81. And I'm trying to train Walker and Wesley when the day comes where I'm not going to do these anymore. Because, as long as we're here on earth, I think Christians are going to want to go on that pilgrimage.
That's right.
To Israel. Mm-hmm. And it is a life
changing
experience. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you want to go with us in March, we'd love to have you, but we only got a few seats left. And if you want the information, it's March 12th through the 20th. March 12th through the 20th. We leave out of New York, and we go. We fly direct to Tel Aviv. So it's a great time of the year to visit, typically, because of the weather. It's not too hot, and it's not too cold. It's very pleasant. So if you want to go see the land of the Bible with us, go to the website TWHolyLand.com. TWHolyLand.com is the website, TWHolyLand.com. So check that out and sign up, and let's go. Be going in March. All right, Ed, if folks want to follow us on, as you call it, that there internet, what can they do?
Well, they can go to either Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues.
Search. Go there and search, folks.
Search. Search for the meaning of the internet.
Yes.
And then they click through, and then they can watch us online. You know, while they're doing other things, they can glance up and see our, you know, our lovely faces and
I think that's stretch right there.
Yes,
I would just call them faces.
That's fake news right there.
All right, Ed. I mean, Fred.
Well, we started off talking about Canada, so let's start off our program today.
Okay.
We talked yesterday about it was Election Day, National Election Day. In Canada yesterday, we weren't sure whether it was going to be a holding on to power by Justin Trudeau as prime minister or if the Conservatives might gain control. The end of the night, Justin Trudeau is still the Prime Minister of Canada. He won, but he didn't win enough seats to make it a majority government. Remember we talked about yesterday, there are three, four, five parties in Canada. So what happened is the Liberal Party, capital L Liberal Party, won 156 seats, but that's 14 short of the 170 necessary to be a majority government. So what it means is that the Conservatives, capital C Conservative Party, could get together with some of the other parties and defeat the Liberal Party in a vote. It's always chaotic down through the years covering national news in Canada. Whenever there was a minority government, it usually doesn't last very long. Right now, a government term is supposed to last about 5 years. It all depends on how it goes there. Trudeau could get together with the NDP party, New Democratic Party, which is actually further to the left from the Liberal Party. And he could probably hold on to power that way. But no, he is still the prime minister, despite all the controversy and scandals over the last 6 weeks. His blackface scandal when he was a teacher in British Columbia, blackface, brownface, Arab right. Knights. And then, of course, he fired his attorney general who wanted to investigate a company in Trudeau's home riding in Montreal. The electorate obviously put all that aside and decided to hold on to them.
You know, it's generally speaking, it's difficult to beat an incumbent.
Yes.
I mean, they have, you know, name recognition, face recognition. People see them all the time. They know the name. They are at least familiar with, you know, the policies that they espouse. Being an incumbent is usually a very big advantage, which, you know, coming back here, you know, whatever comments you still want to make about that, you know, means that the Democrats have to go the impeachment route to try to get President Trump out of office, because him being an incumbent is a pretty big hill to climb. I mean, that's just true about President Obama. It's just President Bush. It's hard. So that played in Trudeau's favor, regardless of, you know, the scandals and what have you.
And, well, in California, Canada is a pretty liberal.
Yes.
I mean, there's conservative pockets just like there is anywhere, but I mean, they're pretty liberal. And they've been pushing liberal policies for years now. So it would be a huge upset should the conservative had won in the election yesterday. But I mean, the people didn't think President Trump would have won, but he did. So, but it doesn't surprise me that he seems like a likable person, just from a personality standpoint. Trudeau, I'm talking about.
Yeah, Andrew Scheer, the Conservative Party leader. Some are critical. They they say he didn't have enough pizzazz to be a national leader. Somebody
like we do,
right?
Some have described him as a steak without the sizzle. That was one of the analogies. I mean, he seems to be a good man, but you know, so much today, unfortunately, with politics, has to do with that public persona. Right. I mean, you look at President Trump. I mean, he's bigger than life,
right?
All the time, and some people credit that with
he likes it that way,
and he likes it that way.
Yeah.
What did he say yesterday? Something about I've gotten more free promotion than any human has ever lived.
Yeah,
I know.
Probably right about that.
He is.
All I know, Fred, is I'm looking at pictures from Canada, and they're already wearing heavy overcoats.
Yep.
And So I'm going to visit Canada in the summer, right? You told me
July is safe.
Go in July.
Okay. Yes.
July is safe. 1 month out of the year.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story.
Well, Hillary Clinton is catching some flack about her comments about Tulsi Gabbard. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, Ed said Hillary was wearing a tinfoil hat.
Yes.
That's right.
This is getting bizarre because it's not just Tulsi Gabbard she mentioned. It was Jill Stein.
Green Party.
Green Party said she was a Russian asset. And there was one other person, I forget, but she's in paranoia land.
I know. Well, anyway, people like Bernie Sanders and Cory Booker and some of the other Democrats they're not putting it in these terms, but they're basically saying, please keep your mouth shut.
Or take your meds, one or the other.
We don't need you doing this.
Well, that'll keep her from putting on the tinfoil hat if she just take her medication.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? That tinfoil. I think I know, but where did that tinfoil? Do you remember where they originated?
Well, the idea of
the conspiracy theory
that
folks wear the tinfoil hats.
They believed that aliens were able to read people's minds. But if you put a tinfoil, you cover your head.
Gotcha.
It reflects their attempts. They can't get through. Mm. Which I don't know. We've all cooked steaks and stuff on a grill. Tinfoil can be penetrated. All right. Mm. So it's not. You can't stop aliens from reading your mind forever.
I know.
It's just going to happen. Folks, please, I'm just kidding. Don't email me and say, you believe in aliens. I'm just making a joke here.
This is bizarre. What Hillary Clinton is saying about Tulsi Gabbard is bizarre. And nobody in the media seems to be noting how bizarre it is. Hillary Clinton
except
is claiming
for Tucker Carlson.
Well, yeah, he's in the conservative media.
Yeah, he's been slamming her.
Yeah, they're claiming Hillary Clinton is claiming that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian asset, is a Russian agent.
Yes,
in U.S. Congress.
That would make a great movie, right?
Yeah,
there, but I don't know, or a novel.
Yeah. So, but the Hillary, the thing with the media is Hillary doesn't. Hillary Clinton does not have to say, and here's why.
No.
Or here's the evidence. Mm-hmm. They can just say stuff, the most outlandish stuff. And Hillary Clinton loves to, you know, bash the right-wing conspiracist or conspiracy. But she's the one who's throwing out these wild, outlandish statements.
Who was the other person she said besides
Jill Stein?
Jill Stein, and there was one other.
Green Party.
I'm looking up now. I'm trying to find it. It was all in one podcast.
Yes.
This was in one podcast. She started the Wall Street Journal. It's behind a paywall. The title is All of Hillary's Russian Assets.
Tulsi Gabbard, is that the way you pronounce her last name?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's the U.S. House member from Hawaii.
Yes.
And she supported Bernie Sanders
in 2016.
And that's the reason that Hillary Clinton said these things about her. she considers her a part of the rival camp, I guess.
Yes, and Gabbard was quite open in her criticism back in 2016.
Right. But the way they did Bernie Sanders.
Well, yes. She said the DNC linked up with Hillary in the campaign.
And they did.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I don't know how this slipped my mind. Donald Trump was who she started with. Oh. In the same podcast, she was talking about Donald Trump, and then she also mentioned Tulsi Gabbard and Jill Stein.
Are they colluding? Those three of them with Vladimir?
Well, they're all on the going and playing according to the Russian playbook. Hey, did you see now? This is why I was talking about Tucker Carlson. He also had several clips of Democratic, fairly well known people, including a couple of them running for president, who refused to get into the squabble. They wouldn't even deny. He had clips from The View and other things, programs like that, where they, MSNBC, where they're all going. I saw on MSNBC someone say, well, Tulsi Gabbard never denied being a Russian asset. She didn't deny it. And I'm just going, does Hillary Clinton have that much juice that these people are?
Gabbard better watch out. She's going to have a Mueller investigation after her. Clinton's
get all right. Say. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you would like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Next story, Fred.
Well, President Trump last night was on with Hannity, and needless to say, he always has some interesting comments on a variety of things. Cut number two, Brent. Here's what he had to say about the so-called impeachment investigation. Cut number two.
To me, the word impeachment is a dirty, disgusting word. I didn't do a reason to be impeached. The only reason they're impeaching is because they look at the polls and they see Moody's just came out and said under all three scenarios, Trump wins easily. They see what's going on. That's what they're doing. Congressman Al Green, a Democrat, said, we have to impeach him because he's going to win. This is what I'm up against. Who would do this? Who would play a dirty game like this?
So that was President Trump last night, and that's where he is. You know, you have to think sometimes he has a marvelous way of turning negative things into an asset, and he keeps doing that all the time. I think the impeachment thing is going to die a very slow death.
Well, it's you know, they can't even start the engine right now.
No.
The impeachment car. That's a bad metaphor, I know, but you know what
impeachment car. But it works.
The Democrats there's either two situations here. They either went secret or went silent, and they're now doing everything behind closed doors because they have a master plan that they're going to spring on President Trump.
With the Russians.
Or they went and Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes.
Or they went up. Or they went secretive and behind closed doors because they realized they didn't have the votes. And they're not going to have the votes to pass an impeachment resolution. So they thought, we're just going to let this die a really slow, quiet death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll say this. Whatever of those is correct, and you said this, Tim, the longer this goes on mm-hmm. behind the scenes, the worse it is for the Democrats because Donald Trump, as usual, is not going to stay quiet about this. And maybe this is a Democratic misstep here, but if they thought the president was going to stay quiet on this while they went about doing whatever they're doing behind closed doors, he's now calling them out and saying,
mm-hmm.
come on, bring it. If you've got evidence, let's see it. Stop dragging this thing out. So the longer they try to drag this out, the worse it could get for them.
Also, if I'm looking at it from the Democrat Party's base supporters who won't President Trump impeached, I would be like, what in the world is taking so long? Get on with it. Let's get on with this thing. You said you're going to impeach him. Now let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that they don't know that the Senate's going to block it, probably.
Right.
I'm just saying you control the House of Representatives, you, Nancy Pelosi, and the Democrats. So you should have the votes to impeach this guy. That's what's taking so long.
Well, especially since Nancy Pelosi came out and said, yes, we've got to do this. We've got to save the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah. So obviously, Nancy, you had evidence in your hands that led you to believe that we've got to save the Constitution from this president. So how hard is it to produce it? They're having supposedly having these witnesses come in who have been subpoenaed, and they're saying, well, every time we get information, we got to go. Well, if you had enough to make you say that, that yes. we have to save the Constitution.
And you had enough on the spot.
You had yes. enough on the spot before yes. all these witnesses.
Yeah, and this Adam Schiff guy. Right. Remember during the Mueller investigation, he was like, I got the goods.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it, and I got it, and we're going to pull it out and show right. the world. Well, guess what? He never did.
Big zero.
He did, never did. So I think probably Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats had the momentum when she announced for impeachment, and now she's lost it. And she's and it's like I said, it's
yeah.
Well, crank the car.
The longer this goes on, if they don't get a vote on this before the end of the year, they were talking about before Thanksgiving. Yeah. If it goes into next year, it's going to become obvious to the voters
yes.
that this is just a 2020 ploy
yeah.
to right. bring down the president.
And I don't think voters
November.
Are going to like that.
No.
I don't either. They already got a weak. They already got a weak candidate, whoever it is, on the Democrat side. I'm talking about it's going to be an uphill challenge for them. Even as battered as President Trump has become through the media, through the Democratic parties, through many in the Republican establishment, and the Never Trumpers, and China. Let's see. I think President Trump basically has the whole world against him again.
Yes.
I just named off five of the power brokers right there that yeah. control our politics, and so he's going to. But even so, you know, when you're putting Joe Gaff Biden out there, and you got and your backup plan is Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, that's not even triple A. That's a double A team right there.
And for those hoping that Hillary Clinton will jump into the race and save the Democratic Party, no way.
No.
Voters do not want to see Hillary Clinton back.
Do you not see, though, the potential of a Hillary Clinton and Gabbard ticket? What's her first name?
Tulsi.
You don't see a Tulsi, because you know they always get together in the end, right?
Well, that,
they beat each other yes. up and then they get together at the end. So I'm
yeah. Saying. Remember George W. Bush saying that Ronald Reagan's economics
George H.W. Bush.
Food, George H.W. Bush saying that Ronald Reagan's economic plan was voodoo economics.
Right.
And then he became Reagan's vice right. president.
I know. So I wouldn't rule out a Tulsi
Gabbard.
The Tulsi Hillary ticket.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you the conversations that are going on behind closed doors on Capitol Hill. The AOC and the squad, they're trying to lobby the red state Democrats to red district Democrats to vote for impeachment. And the ones who are in districts that Trump won in 2016 and they're up for re-election in 12 months, they're going, yes. That would be dumb for me to vote for impeachment.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Impeachment over nothing, especially.
That's
so that's probably the problem they're having, is because those Democrats are probably pretty firm that I'm not voting for impeachment. Because
well, and to your point, that's an excellent point. If they really had something, these Democrats might be willing to come out and say, you haven't seen what I've seen. Mm. And they've got real good evidence. And one other thing, if they do go for impeachment and it fails, they can't go for it again next year.
That's right.
You know, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't go to that well a second time.
I think Nancy Pelosi took the bait.
She did.
Huh? She took the bait from the far left of her own party, and it's not, as I said, if they'd have done this a couple weeks ago, I think she had the momentum
right.
with her. But now it's like, we're going to impeach. Oh, yeah.
You wait and see.
You wait and see. And the days go on, the weeks go on. Nothing happens except these behind-closed-doors meetings.
Right.
Which is unfair. And I think most people realize that. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
There is an unfortunate trend that is percolating throughout our country, and unfortunately, It's even hitting the church, where we are all too willing to take the Bible and set it aside.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, one of the days that we're in Israel on our March tour, we will be going to Bethlehem. And when we go to Bethlehem, we'll be visiting what's called the Church of the Nativity. And the Church of the Nativity is over the place where Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to be seeing that very place and experiencing the place where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then later, we'll be seeing the shepherd's fields later that same day. So it's going to be a wonderful time. That's just one day in our trip to Israel. For more information on this March 12th through the 20th trip to the Holy Land, go to our website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Well, one of the nation's largest makers of cereal wants you to have a breakfast conversation with your kids about gay rights. Kellogg is partnering with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation to produce a pro-gay cereal box. Altogether Cereal, that's what they're calling it. It's a bright purple box that features Tony the Tiger and Toucan Sam on the cover, frolicking about with a number of other cereal mascots. Kellogg says they're taking a stand against bullying, and they want to support a more accepting world for LGBTQ youth. Their pro-gay cereal box is meant to celebrate Spirit Day, no matter who you love. The all-new Gay Variety Pack also includes boxes of Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes, and Fruit Loops. Huh. Well, snap, crackle, pop, America. Be sure to order a signed copy of my new book, Culture Jihad, at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We have a Today's Issues Facebook page where we live video stream the show as well as post the stories that we're talking about so you can read them for yourself. That's Today's Issues Facebook. Also, YouTube. We have a live stream there as well. Does that archive, Walker, on YouTube?
Yes. You can go back and watch past shows.
Okay. Check that out as well, Today's Issues there. Fred is with me, as well as Ed and Walker.
Can I just throw in a story we haven't discussed, but I just
you go right ahead,
up.
Ed.
Now, this is going to be shocking to you guys and to our listeners.
We're sitting down.
A new study by Swedish academics has found that most wealthy people and celebrities are not changing their flying habits to help reduce climate change, with some responsible for 1,000 times more CO2 emissions than the average. Mm-hmm. The study carried out by researchers from Lund University reviewed the social media accounts of well-known celebrities and wealthy philanthropists, many of whom relentlessly virtue signal about climate change.
Yep.
That's stunning. I would have thought that as dire as these predictions are, that the beautiful people, yes, are constantly saying that they would have dramatically changed their habits, but they have not.
Ed,
was I naive?
It, well, I just think that you don't understand that it's up to the beautiful people to travel the world in their luxury planes and yachts to warn the little people about the coming calamity that is climate change.
Yes, well, that's true. And to your point, I see now where they're going with this. Climate activist Bill Gates was responsible for approximately 1,600 tons of carbon dioxide, while flights used by Paris Hilton and Jennifer Lopez emitted 1,260 tons and 1,050 tons, respectively.
Those people don't give a rip.
These figures compare to a global average of 100 kilos per person per year for air travel, whatever that is. Or, in other words, more than 1,000 times higher than these than the average person.
They had their big global warming/climate change summit over in Italy this summer. Don't you remember?
Yes.
And it was all these celebrities and billionaires, they flew in from around the world on their private planes or came in on their private yachts and private jets to talk about climate change and how we need to be more responsible. And it's all, like you said, virtue signaling. It's all look at me. I care about the planet. Why, you should too.
Right.
But they don't really.
No.
Because they don't really believe in what they're saying. It's just the call celeb, so to speak.
You get a pat on the back. And when you're at your Hollywood parties, everyone pats each other on the back and says, "You're so brave. I saw you. I saw you in Milan, darling." And, at the climate change conference, I was so impressed with what you had to say at our cocktail
party. Prince Harry. Isn't that the Prince Harry, the one that's married to the American princess?
Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle. He went to this big confab over there in Italy to talk about the crisis that is climate change, which is, by the way, is about to hit most of America in a few days in a way that most of us don't like to see coming, that is freezing. But anyway, they went to so he goes over there and takes his private plane. Other things that he's been criticized for, rightfully so, because he's preaching climate change and responsibility and carbon emissions while he's traveling on private planes everywhere. Because, you know, you can't travel with the hordes.
Right. You know? And you certainly can't just simply FaceTime and talk about this, right? You can't just do that.
No. Yeah.
You got to all go to Naples.
I noticed
Naples.
That Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan. Is she called a princess? What is her title? Queen? She's not queen, so I don't know what.
No, no.
Is she princess?
I don't know.
Duchess of something? Ed, you're asking. I know.
I'm not into
I knew when I looked in your eyes, Ed, you had no clue. and nor do I. Okay, we don't keep up with English royalty like we should. But anyway, the point was they went on a vacation invited to attend by Elton John.
Yeah.
And Elton John. And so he threw him over there on his private plane, 1,000 miles or whatever it was from England to Spain or wherever. But anyway, they were having to defend. The British media was after him for once again being hypocrites. And Elton John weighed in and said, "Well, I did carbon offsets to make up for it." I'm going, so you can burn holes in the ozone, but as long as you offset it by planting some pine trees, you're good. Is that the way this works?
I think you hit it exactly right. That's exactly how it works.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you got to plant a spruce or something. I don't know what the value on the on the trees are.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are supposed to kill our
supposed to get on our bikes and skateboards and go on vacation.
Right.
You know.
By the way, that article a link from Drudge Report, and so if folks want to find that, you can go to Drudge. We won't. I don't want us to. It's InfoWars. I don't know if we promote InfoWars.
Well, as long as it's factual.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Fred. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, weekday mornings from 7 to 8 Central Time here on AFR. and she joins us most Tuesdays. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. And just so you guys know, because it's so important, it is the Duchess of Sussex.
Oh. Okay, that's what I
did. Sandy does. Sandy keeps up.
I was. I'm a royal fan. I'm not really
I was on the way. I was on I the right
she,
track.
I thought maybe she was the royal consort, but I think that's the dude. I mean, a guy when he's married. Like no. The queen's husband is the royal consort.
Well, we don't go for that binary, the binary gender stuff there.
So if you're the Duchess of Sussex, is that what you said?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so the prince. So is there such thing as a princess anymore in that world?
Yeah.
Well, there must be because I saw a movie.
Princess
the other
Di.
Day, Princess but, Diaries. So but who else? There must be.
Ed, you're not helping. Sandy and I here are going back and forth.
Yes. I apologize.
There's Princess Eugenie and whatever her name is. That's the son. That's the daughters of the other son of the queen. Edward. What's his name? The son you never hear about.
Okay.
He has a little girl named Eugenie and another sister. Yeah, they're princesses.
All right. Yeah, what?
Princesses. By the way, we actually care about climate change, which is why we don't fly Sandy Rios in to be with us every Tuesday. Right. We just simply have her on the air. See, we're trying.
We care.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really something, you guys. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
All right, Sandy. This morning you had on a very interesting guest talking about polls. His name was
John McLaughlin.
Yes, John McLaughlin. Now, was his daddy from the McLaughlin?
Yes, I actually think so. To be honest, I can't say for sure, but I think so. John okay. McLaughlin, I think, was his dad.
Well, it was a very interesting interview. I encourage people to go back and listen to that. I don't know how long it lasted. I listened for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, I listened the whole time I was driving in.
Yeah, yeah. And so you were talking to him about the, about polls and whether they can be trusted and so forth and so on. What was a couple of your takeaways from your interview with him?
Well, one thing I know is that polls really became a tool. It's not just a metric or a measurement of how people feel. It has become a tool to use to persuade us to believe certain things. In some cases, the polls, which have really no merit based on who they are asking and what the sampling is, there are a lot of scientific things that go into this, that are taken, the questions asked in a certain way to create the answer that they want. So they can say to you, for instance, in the middle America, who might actually think the president is not a Russian mole or that maybe the Democrats are out of their minds. But then you're going to see in these polls that, you know, most Americans agree with the Nancy Pelosi that blah, blah, blah. And I mean, so more likely a poll is saying that most Americans want the president impeached. You probably heard that. 51%, the Fox right. News poll said recently. Those polls, many polls, are done so that you'll get discouraged. You go. I must be crazy here because look, that most people want it. I just don't understand this. And then sometimes we go quiet and we don't fight. And that's the way polls are used. Now on the Fox poll that I talked about on the show last week, actually, I think it was the beginning of last week. I was appalled with it. It said something like 51% of America wants the president impeached and removed from office. That's what the poll said.
Right.
And they led off with it on Special Report, and they talked about it almost all day. And I thought to myself at the time, what's wrong? Something's wrong here. And so John McLaughlin this morning, and this is just one of the things we talked about, said that in that poll, they did a random sampling. In other words, they just randomly called people out of the phone book or wherever the names they got. They did landlines and cell phones, and they didn't do any kind of a breakdown of male to female, of color, race, gender, or of or party. And so So they did get that, you know, it would be like you just went out on the street and ask what most people feel about X, Y, or Z and calling that, you know, a definitive answer. If you're downtown in L.A., you might get a different answer than if you're downtown in Des Moines, Iowa. Okay, right. So it's not a scientific poll. So, and for instance, in that Fox poll, 48% of the people polled were Democrats. 37% were Republicans. That's 11 points difference, but they don't tell you that.
Right.
And then they have the audacity to tell you that 51% of Americans want Trump impeached and removed from office. In addition to that, they ask questions in the poll leading up to that, to whatever question, however they worded it. Do you think Donald Trump is corrupt? Do you think he, do you agree that he, I don't know, I can't remember what the questions were, but can you believe that he, you know, had a promise that Turkey, the Iranian, oh gosh, I can't,
Ukrainian,
thank you, Ukrainian president that he would remove foreign aid if he did not investigate Joe Biden. You know, how do you feel about that? Yeah. And then leading all these questions, and then do you think he should be impeached? And this is to a random sampling of people who probably are not even paying attention to the news, you know?
What's going on at Fox? Do you know? Because Todd Starnes isn't there anymore. Todd's our good friend, and Todd is a professional. He wouldn't say he was, you know, he wouldn't necessarily say what's going on there. Judge Napolitano, who I've had a lot of respect for over the years, he just seems to be against Trump every day, President Trump every day. I'm sure he would probably say, no, I'm just calling him like I see him, but I don't know. Huh? Mm-hmm. Do you think so, Walker?
No, Judge Napolitano has been allowed to say things, outlandish things, without corroboration or facts behind them, and nobody pushes back. He said a couple weeks ago, he said President Trump was a felon. He committed a felony. Mm-hmm. But then nobody said, so what did he do? He just gets to say, oh, yeah, this, absolutely it's a felony.
So you think the change there, the Murdoch brothers?
No, I think, Tim, I think this happened sooner. My understanding is that he wanted a judgeship and he was declined. And he got pretty upset about it from President Trump. I don't know if it was Supreme Court or federal judge or what it was, but he was rejected. And then he's completely irrational. Walker described it perfectly. Yeah. He cannot be trusted anymore. It's really disgusting. I just don't understand how a person with intellectual honesty, who I'm with you, Tim, I used to really like him too.
Yeah.
It seems like his reasoning, he is careless, he makes accusations, and he just has become foolish. Really.
Shepard Smith's gone.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. So
that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, you asked me what I think is happening, Tim. It's because the elder Murdoch, Rupert, has stepped aside and given his boys the opportunity to run the company, and they're not on the same page with their dad. Not that Rupert Murdoch was known to be a conservative. He was kind of a moral reprobate in terms of what he allowed on his Fox network.
Right.
But this was a business model.
Yes.
And so Roger Ailes was the person who came in.
And a very successful one.
Yeah. And Roger Ailes was the conservative who drove the thing. Well, now these sons are not they're not conservative, and so they're sort of bending it to their way gradually. I see it gradually changing.
Well, certainly, there's going to be a huge opportunity for somebody else out there if Fox News keeps trending moderate to liberal, too much so. They've always had you have to if you're going to be a legitimate news source. You want people on to offer various different opinions, like one. Williams, and I guess Donna Brazile now does for them, and some others as well, Geraldo Rivera. The reason Fox News has been so successful is they captured the conservative audience out there across America who were starved for a place to go where they could get fair and balanced news.
Right.
And now, if they're going to go away from that, they will eventually lose their.
Yeah, they will. They will. Thank goodness they still have these individual hosts who are very conservative. And by that, I even hate to say that. It's not that they're honest.
Yeah.
For heaven's sake, they're reporting
yeah.
what's true. Could I just give you an example of a contrasting poll with Fox's poll?
Yes, please.
So New York Times did another poll. New York Times, you ready? New York Times did a poll. It came out today in conjunction with Siena College. And they did a scientific poll. John was talking about that on the show this morning, and they actually used voter lists. So they polled likely voters, which is the best. That's what you have to do, likely voters. And then you make sure that your sample reflects the American public fairly. And they did this in the battleground states, and they asked people if they – oh, gosh, I forgot the question. Ha-ha. It's funny. I've got the numbers down here. I forgot the question. But whatever the question was, it was the opposite of the Fox poll. 43% said yes, 53% said no. I guess if you wanted him to be impeached. That might have been the question. So this is the battleground states.
I think that was from what when I listened to the show this morning.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Thank you for reminding
your
me what,
show.
What I said this morning on my show. No, but sometimes. Anyway, so it's 43% said yes, 53% said no, and that's in the battleground states. That's in the battleground states. And when he broke it down, he even talked about the Democrats are not real keen on impeaching. In fact, there's a new poll out today out of Iowa where it says only 6% of Iowa voters say impeachment is the most important issue. In fact, it's not even an important issue to them, and they break this poll down by demographics. Even the Democrats don't care about this. So we are just being lied to. The polls are being used to manipulate and discourage us.
Mm-hmm. But that's not going to happen as long as Sandy Rios is out there.
No,
telling the truth.
And Sandy, I want to give a thumbs up to my daughter-in-law, who texted in 12 minutes ago. I should have been paying attention. Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Oh, there you
so
go.
So the ladies are paying attention to that kind of thing.
Do they overrule a rook though? If you use a
bishop can only go diagonally.
That's what I'm asking.
So, yeah. So okay. A duke and a duchess of Sussex.
I think you and I, if we're on the chessboard, we'd be pawns.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you're in a skillet, you'd be prawns.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. Have a good day.
All right, you guys have a good one. Bye bye.
I like Sandy that last Rios. One. If you were a skillet, you'd be prawns. Did you hear what she said? That was very good, Sandy.
You know, I wasn't even paying attention, which is why I'm a pawn.
We didn't even feel the insult because we weren't paying attention here. Let me say this, too, about Shepard Smith. I mentioned him earlier. You know, he suddenly resigned or quit, right?
About two Fridays ago.
Yeah.
At Fox News. I liked him as a news anchor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
He was very good when he
specials,
did
specials, when he did disasters.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah. Current news, breaking news, whatever the case may be. But then he couldn't help himself, and he just began to inject his own views on news of the day. And it just got annoying, you know, and he hated President Trump.
Right.
And he didn't hide that at all. And other things. I mean,
well, he didn't like Christians who oppose like same-sex marriage.
He's a gay man.
Famously said, "Haters gonna hate."
Yeah, I remember when he said that. You know, he said he's a homosexual, open about it, and he would say he talking about same-sex marriage. Anybody who opposed it, he said, called them haters. That would
happened to him is what happened to CNN. CNN used to be the go-to place for hard news and good reporting all around the world. You tuned into CNN.
Yeah, and they did an excellent job at that.
They did an excellent job at that, but when they began to inject their own leftist opinion into it, people left in droves. And the same thing, I think, happened to Shepard Smith. He just couldn't help himself. He had to give his opinion.
And now CNN's almost become, it's all hate Trump all the time.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do when he goes away. I think they're going to have to pay him to stay, you know, to stay in the news so they can keep hating, so they can have a purpose in life.
Yeah.
CNN, because they don't, right? Other than that, they don't. You could have a volcano that takes down a continent, and they would say, they'd spend about a minute on it, and then they're going to then go back to Washington and impeachment.
Or they'd say, and I think this is a direct result of President Trump opposing climate change.
You're right. That's what they would do. Yeah. Right there. This is Trump's fault, this volcano going off. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. It's going to be interesting to see what happens a year from now at the polls. Of course, a lot can happen between now and then, but the polls were wrong in 2016, and we'll see how the polls
hold up. Remember the story from last week, Moody Investments? They did three scenarios. Trump wins, hands down. Even more so in 2020 than 2016, one of their models shows, because so many people, their major concern is the economy. Right. You know, it's what James Carville said way back.
The economy's stupid.
The economy's stupid. And that's right for a majority of Americans. But the Democrats, you know, as I said earlier, they're just not, they don't, you look down the bench and you go, where's Biden? I don't know. He's sick or something, or he's out back talking to somebody. And you look down the bench and you go, if Biden's not going to play, who do they have that's going to go out there and hit off hit Trump's fastball. I've got it going on with these
you
metaphors,
do.
Huh?
Can you imagine 7 or 8 months from now, and either Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders are on the top of the ticket for the Democrats, and they face Donald Trump in the debate? Think about that.
It's going to be socialism versus capitalism right there. That's going to be the big story right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you one thing, and I've said this before, and I don't back away from this. If it comes down to the librarian vote, Elizabeth Warren's going to win because she identifies with those people. Don't you think, Ed?
You think she looks like – I think she's a closet librarian myself. I think at some point she's going to come out of the closet
as a librarian.
That's
what I'm saying. I just look at Elizabeth Warren and I go, I remember you when I was 7 years old telling me, shh. Huh?
My librarian radar goes off every time I see her on screen.
She is a spitting image for a Native American librarian. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred, before Ed gets us in trouble.
Yes, that's right.
There's always a chance of that.
I think most of our audience is probably familiar with Dennis Prager.
Yes.
Very well-known talk show host.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thinker and speaker.
Prager University.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's come out with a documentary called No Safe Spaces. Now, safe spaces is kind of a new term on the block, but it refers not to what you think of. You know, safe space mom and dad may think about that, safe space on the playground for my kid.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about universities now, Harvard being one of them. For example, they're going to have an all-black graduation ceremony. In other words...
Wait a second. What?
Yes.
What?
Only black people can go to that ceremony.
Where is this? Harvard?
Harvard. Also, there are now some universities apparently that have dorms, and only black people can go there. So these are called safe spaces.
It's called segregation.
Oh, yeah. And
yes,
also,
yeah. What it used to be called.
Yes, exactly. And also safe spaces where you can go if a conservative offends you on campus. The conservative is not allowed to go to that place because a conservative point of view makes you feel unsafe.
Right.
All right. Here's Dennis Prager talking about this documentary, No Safe Spaces. Cut 12.
There is no debate.
The type of diversity that they hate is diversity of thought.
We reserve the right to be offended by everything.
No university should ever create a safe space. You're not going to protect people. And so the best you can do is to make them strong.
It is a great movie, and it is not great because I'm in it. I am honored to be in a great movie, and I'm not Mr. Humble. I am Mr. Real. It is that good, this film. It is a wake-up call to the American people about what is happening to free speech and happening on campuses. It is opening in Phoenix this weekend. Adam Carolla and I will be there. People should go to nosafespaces.com. If we sell out in Phoenix, it goes national.
It's interesting, and at one point in that interview this morning, he differentiated between leftists and liberals, and he used the example I was just giving of only black graduations. He says that's what leftists believe in. He says traditional liberals, and I think I've even heard Donald Trump say this, traditional liberals used to be able to work with liberals and conservatives.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They were rational. The leftists are not rational. They're actually believing in these kinds of things that somehow we must actually separate the races again. This is totally against what they said they believed in, diversity, tolerance, all of those things.
Classic liberalism believes in free speech, for example.
Right.
The secular progressive movement, which has usurped classic liberalism, believes in forbidding free speech if they disagree with it. Yeah. I mean, punishing it. I mean, it's a whole new world out there that we're facing in terms of who stands where and for what. We shall return in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.